You know, there's a lot of questions that come about from Scripture. And statements that are made, and we wonder, you know, what they mean. And a lot of this could be answered if, instead of just taking the question and trying to figure out what we think it means, we can look at the situation that goes back and forth. We could go back a little bit to see who Jesus or an apostle or whoever was talking to. We can read a little bit further to see if they moved on or if they started to reply to the question in depth. And some questions are kind of, you know, kind of scary. You don't want to find yourself in the unfaithful church. When we read through Revelation, you don't want to find yourself in the dead church. And so we ask, what makes this? What makes that? And I believe that every question that we have in regards to salvation, in regards to our spiritual walk, in regards to Christ, I believe that the Bible will give answers. But they're not always easily found. And God says that you have to look for them. They have to matter to you. He's not just going to, you know, give out free room and board and free meals and all this stuff just to make it easier on you. Because how hard do you think it was for Jesus when he went to that tree? This has to be something that we fight for, because we have to put effort behind it, because there's someone that is trying to take that knowledge away. There's someone that is trying to steal our crown, that is trying to take away our salvation. And so we've worked hard for this, and so we just don't carry it around. A woman will carry her purse. She'll put it over her neck and under her arm. She doesn't just carry it on her shoulder, because that's easily... We don't just open our wallet and bring out all this cash, not that anybody really carries cash anymore, and start filtering through $100 bills and stuff in front of this huge crowd, right? We have to be careful about things. And so one of the things that we have to be careful about is when this statement is going to be made here about the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:24 says, "Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.'" So this was said to Jesus because he was performing miracles, and they said that you're doing this by the spirit of a demon. And this prompted a response by Jesus, and because of the statement that was made and the response that Jesus said, I think we can understand where the problem lies in blaspheming the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's what initially comes after this. You see, when they said this, we need to understand one thing for 100% sure. They didn't believe that Jesus wasn't doing these things, right? They didn't say that Jesus didn't have the power to cast out demons. They looked at him and they did not believe that the Holy Spirit was at work. And that was a problem. You know, they didn't deny that Jesus was doing these things, but they looked at him and they said that was a spirit of the demon. And it wasn't a spirit of a demon. It was the Holy Spirit. And so when they made this statement, they didn't believe that it was the Holy Spirit behind these works. And Jesus turned around and made this statement. See, it's Matthew 12:24. We go down just a few verses. I could have put some of them in there, but God help me, I already got enough in here this morning, so I had to leave a few of them out. But it goes down a little bit further, and he's talking about the same things. He says in Matthew 12:31-32, he says, "Therefore I say to you," since they made this statement, he says, "every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit..." And he was talking about the works of the Spirit, because they didn't believe that the Spirit was at work behind casting out that demon, "will not be forgiven men." He also says, "anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him." And so we think that if we acknowledge Jesus and that we respect Jesus and put him in a high place in our life or wherever we decide to do with him, that is enough. But he says, you can disrespect me, but he says, you're not going to disrespect the Holy Spirit. You see, Nicodemus saw Jesus as a teacher from God, but he doubted he was the Messiah. We know that from John 3:2, and he says, "Teacher, we know that you are a someone from God, because no one could do the works that you do unless they were from God." But see, he was struggling with what Jesus was saying about being born again as the conversation went on. And that's what John 3:16 was about. He was telling Nicodemus that trusting in the works that Christ was going to bring, trusting in the works of the Holy Spirit, trusting in that message that was going to teach you about being born again, he said trusting in that and not the law would give life, right? That's what John 3:16 was. He was clearing up for Nicodemus that for whoever... "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him and not the law," right, "that would follow the path believing in Him would have eternal life, because the law brought you to Christ. The end of the law was Christ." And so he was making this statement to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus didn't doubt Jesus. He just doubted if He was the Messiah. He said, "You are a teacher from God." So this wasn't about saying that Jesus couldn't do these works. And you know, the brothers of Jesus did not believe in Him until after the resurrection. You can see in Galatians 1:19 that the brother of Jesus was called an apostle. And prior to this, you can read where his brother says that they didn't believe in Him. That they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his brothers this, this, and this?" And they didn't like Him. They were aggravated with Him because He was rising up. So Jesus is saying, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Then He turns around and He says something about the Holy Spirit, which He just said a second ago. "But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit," and again, the focus of this concept here was the works of the Spirit, because He says that it was the work of the demon, not the Holy Spirit. "But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come." And so when you hear a statement like that, it's a little scary. It's a little scary. And this is why you don't see much teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because they're scared. They're afraid that they're going to say something that's wrong. They're afraid that they're going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit that is in contrary. And they don't really know what this verse means. So they're scared. So they stay away from the Holy Spirit. And anytime the Holy Spirit is brought up, they just want to glorify the Holy Spirit. They just want to sing glory. They just want to raise their hands. They want to praise God in regards to the Holy Spirit. They don't want to give you any teaching about Him. Some people don't even believe that there's an indwelling Holy Spirit. Some people believe, teach that the Holy Spirit is simply an active force, that it's not really a person. In John 16, it's He. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a Him. He will come. And if you read John 16:14, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. That's what John 16:14 says. He says he will take what is mine and glorify me with this. He glorifies Christ. Okay? And so, but this is why you don't see a whole lot of teaching, because this statement here was made. And so, all right, so blaspheming the Holy Spirit is saying that the Holy Spirit is not at work. And we shouldn't do that because God's going to get mad at that. No, He's saying something right here, and this is where it's important. He says that if you do this, you will not be forgiven in this age or the one to come. So it affects our salvation. So let's go on. Mark 11:29-33. They said the same thing about John. I mean, about the baptism of John. "But Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? He said, answer me. He said, you make all these claims, you stand up and you do all these things and you say all these things. Now I'm going to ask you a question and you answer me. And so they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we don't know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, they believed the same thing about John the Baptist, that the Holy Spirit was not at work there. Now, the baptism that John gave was based on a promise to come. The Holy Spirit had not come yet, because the Bible tells us, Jesus said that if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. So Jesus had to die and raise and ascend to the Father before the Holy Spirit could come, before the church started, right? So the baptism of John didn't have the Holy Spirit, but it was based on the promise of that, because he forgave, the baptism of John was to forgive sins. But they didn't believe the Holy Spirit was at work in John. And so he said, what about John baptizing? Who's doing that work? See, again, it's not the person. This time it shifted from Jesus to John. It's not the person. It was the work. Who was behind the work? This is the problem that Jesus had. And when he brought it to the Pharisees' attention, they didn't want to stand firm. They didn't want to make a choice one way or the other. And so he had a problem with that. They believed that John was doing this, and they cared more about the people than they cared about God. 1 Peter 3:20 through 21. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Now remember what I said is the work is when it said the this man cast out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub, they were saying that it wasn't the Holy Spirit at work, that it was the spirit of a demon. And so when we look, the statement that he made, he said, if you say this sort of thing, he says, this will not be forgiven you in this age or the one to come. So we it messes with our salvation. So when we go to see something about salvation here, he says, saved through water, verse 21. This is also an antitype. And if you look up that word, it means a substitution, a like figure, a stamp or a scar. The baptism that we have, it is a representation of Christ. It is a representation. It is a stamp of approval from God that we have went through what Christ did, that He is going to extend the grace that was given to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that He was going to allow us to take part in that. That's what He says. It through water, through that baptism, which now saves us, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus. And so, when we ask ourselves, who is at work here? You see, if the Spirit wasn't involved, we'd just be taking a bath. And He says that in our baptism, that's not what's happening. It's not the removal of filth from the flesh. Yet Scripture says that something else is taking place. And so when we look and we see on the day of Pentecost when things were done, that there was an immersion talked about and that there was a baptism that was happening, and yet here we ask ourselves, if the Spirit wasn't involved in the immersion, if the Spirit wasn't involved in Noah, if the Spirit wasn't involved in John's baptism, if the Spirit wasn't involved in excuse me, if the Spirit wasn't involved in Jesus and doing His works when He was casting out Satan, all of this shows that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was denying the works of the Spirit, not the person, because we've gone from Noah, we've gone from Jesus, we've gone from John. It's the works. It's who's behind the work. And if we deny that the Holy Spirit has a part to play in that, he said that we would not be forgiven. You see, we can become a Christian. We can start to grow, and then we can simply get fed up. We can simply get turned off. We can simply get motivated for other things. We can be turned on by other things. And then we leave our spouse, and we leave the church, and we completely forsake God, and then something happens and we come back to our senses. Maybe we find ourselves in the pig pen, you know. That's what happened to the prodigal son. That's what happened to, which was a reflection of Israel. We turn around and we can come back. You see, but denying the work from the beginning, that the Spirit was behind this work, there's a problem with that. And that's what we've been seeing, is it was a problem denying the work that was being done there. In Acts 8, 35 through 36, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he began to preach Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Well, do you know how many people preach Jesus and they don't include a mess of immersion? Do you know how many people preach Jesus and they say, if you are a sinner today, if you feel God tugging at your heart, if you feel that weight of sin in your life, I want you to bow your heads with me today. I want you to say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I trust you with my salvation. I turn away from this world." And he said, if you prayed this prayer with me today, he says, they'll say that Jesus Christ has born you again. Right? You've been born again. You've been saved. Well, I'm sorry, when Philip preached Jesus, that's what he said. He began to preach Jesus to him. That message of Jesus included a baptism. Now, what message do you think he preached to him about Jesus? It was the gospel. Right? That's what the gospel message was for, to see who Jesus was, who do you say Jesus is, and if you believe him to be the Son of God, that, and it tells you how to be saved, who Jesus was and how to be saved. That was the message that Philip brought to this eunuch. So let me ask you something. How serious is denying the Holy Spirit as it work in the preaching of Jesus? When I bring you the gospel message and I say, well, yeah, that's man. That was Peter that stood up. That was like the Pope that we have today because he's Peter's successor. That's not true. And say that now that message is from man. So man, the Holy Spirit don't have anything to do with that. How serious is that? Do you see Jesus, a message of Jesus brought a chariot to a halt and the man saw his life and he says, what hinders me from giving my life to Christ? There was water. It was an immersion. And we say, oh, no. No, 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 no. You don't need to be immersed. You don't need to be immersed. The Holy Spirit is not in any of that. That's just the work of man. You're not, no. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. How serious is that? Think that would mess with your salvation? I'd say it would. Because it's denying the work of the Spirit. The Spirit was behind John. The Spirit was behind Jesus. The Spirit was behind that message that was preached, the gospel message that Philip preached to that eunuch. The Spirit was at work. The Spirit was at work in the days of Noah. And the Bible says that the baptism that we go through, let's not be confused. He's not talking about the baptism of John. He's talking about the baptism that we go through from that gospel message. He's saying that that saves us. And it's not that we're getting wet. It's not that we're symbolically washing off the mud of this world. He said that's not what's happening. The Spirit is involved in this work. He says it's for a clean conscience towards God. Well, the answer there is that God has asked you to do something. Did you do it? Right? And so why would our conscience be darkened to say, well, you know, he said about immersion, but I, you know, about being dunked in water, but I'm not doing that in front of everybody. You know, I'll just go sprinkling. That's okay. That's okay, right? I was sprinkled as a baby, so, I don't need to worry about this stuff. No. See, God is not going to let your conscience be clean when it comes to something like that, because that's not what He's asked you to do. That's not what He's asked you to do. In that immersion, denying that the Holy Spirit, something happens there, God has a problem with that. See, Romans 6, 3 through 5, He tells us the exact same thing that Philip, He told him there. Here's water, that the Holy Spirit is at work in the preaching of Jesus. He says, Romans 6, 3 through 5, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, see, that's baptized in the authority of Jesus, baptized in the name of Jesus, baptized by His authority. And by the way, when Jesus left, he had completed his work here on earth. Now the Holy Spirit is at work. And if people said, no, Jesus is not the Son of God, he's not nothing, and they crucified him, did God have a problem with that? If we say the Spirit's not at work now and he's not the one working here, now the Spirit has a work. And if we deny that, there's a problem there. God is not happy with this. And when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Why? Because the Bible says he who has been died from sin shouldn't be a slave to it anymore. We've been forgiven. We have buried with him in the baptism, and when we're raised in the newness of life, we are born again. That's what he says. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in the newness of life. See, born again. And he goes on to say in verse 5, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you think that if we said the Holy Spirit was not involved in the baptism, the Holy Spirit was not involved in the resurrection of Christ, you think God have a problem with that? Do you think that that would mess with our salvation? Do you think that if we said, well, you know, Christ did his work by the spirit of a demon, and this is just man's work right here. It really has nothing to do. You see, what is the power of our resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus? Romans 8:11 says that the power of the Holy Spirit is what raised Jesus from the dead. And the power that we come in contact to, that's what he says, that if we are united together in the likeness of his death. See, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was raised from the dead, and we say through immersion we are baptized into his death and we are united with the likeness of what happened to him. So we must come in contact with the Holy Spirit through that water, because if that wasn't the case, how is the Holy Spirit going to raise us from the dead? Because this is what this scripture says, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we are united in his likeness, and we're going to be raised like he was by the power that he was. Romans 8:11 says that power that we are raised is the Holy Spirit. So through that immersion, we have to come in contact with the Spirit. And we're going to deny the Spirit as well. Oh, Holy Spirit's got nothing to do with that baptism. Nothing to do with it. All you got to do is just go to Paul when he's on the road to Damascus. Everybody wants to say all this stuff, but they want to not talk about that. Paul talked about it several times. He gave several accounts. In one of the accounts that he gave, he said that he came to Ananias, and Ananias listened to his story, and he looked at Paul and he said, why are you waiting? This was after the road to Damascus. This was after the light and him being blinded and him fasting and praying. He said he neither ate nor slept for 3 days. So if there was a man that would be forgiven of his sins, that were saved, it would have been Paul. For 3 days, he asked God for forgiveness. You know that's what he was asking for. And Ananias said, what are you waiting on? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. You see, Paul wasn't a saved man. But yet people will look at the baptism, they'll look at Jesus and they'll say, oh, you got to hold on to the name of Jesus. You can't deny the name of Jesus. But they'll deny the works of the Spirit. And Jesus said, you deny me. He said, I can forgive that because my brothers didn't know who I was. It takes a little while for you to come to the understanding. He says, it takes you a little while to toss around, who is this Jesus guy? But once you see him for who he is, but he says that when you deny the power that is at work from God, it doesn't matter whose name you believe in. Colossians 2:11 through 12. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And that's what we were saying here, is that the body of sin was done away with in that baptism. And this is where circumcision was given to Abraham as an eternal promise. And this is where the eternal promise goes forward, because now the circumcision is not made by men's hands. It's made by God on the heart, and it's done by the Holy Spirit, right? He says that we put off that body of sin through the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised, and that was born again, because when you're buried, you're dead. And when you're raised up from that casket, you're raised up from that, you're alive again. That's the symbolism there. You're born again. And he says, who is at work? Whose work is this? He says, with him, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So like Jesus asked about John's baptism, we can ask the same question, is this from man or is it from God? You see, how many say baptism today is man's work? They say, no, baptism don't save you. Don't save you. It's man's work. It's man. It's something that you do. It's man's work. Baptism doesn't save you. And it's not God's, because we cannot be saved by our works. Yet they are denying the Holy Spirit is at work in the baptism at all. See, Colossians tells us that the baptism that happens, that is a work of God. It is not a work of man. The work of man, the best you can do, is to bathe yourself and to cleanse. But it tells us that we can be confident. We can be confident that it is not the removal of the flesh, that is removal of dirt from the flesh from Peter. Peter preached the first gospel sermon. He understood this. It's not the removal of the flesh that we go through. It's not man's work. When that happens, we come in contact with the Holy Spirit of God in that water. It's symbolic of our death, where we're raised in the newness of life. And we can ask the same question that they ask about John. The baptism that is preached on the day of Pentecost, the gospel message immersion where Philip told the eunuch, and he says, he began to preach Jesus, and he said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? That message, that immersion, is it from man or is it from God? See, the same thing happened. They're saying that the Holy Spirit is not at work in that baptism. That baptism don't save you because it's a work of man. Only God can save us. Colossians just said that baptism is a work of God. And so you're not only denying God, but you're not denying the Holy Spirit is at work in that baptism. You think God has a problem with that? Do you think that Jesus, when He looked at him and they said, you don't do works by the Holy Spirit. You don't do works by God. You do it by the works of Satan. You don't think that as time went on that He would see that this immersion that took place that was on the day of Pentecost when they said to repent and be baptized, when he was preaching to the Jews, that if they held on to that idea that the work of Jesus, the work of John, the work of the apostles, all these things were not done by the Spirit of God, that they would have rejected that idea on the day of Pentecost? And you know they did. There was only 3,000 out of a million. If history bears, 750,000, half. Even if it was only 500,000, there was only 3,000 that accepted. They still held on to the idea that it wasn't the Spirit of God working behind Jesus. And it wasn't the Spirit of God who was in that immersion. We're still dealing with that today. There's still people that are telling you today that baptism doesn't save you. The baptism that's talked about here in Colossians, it does. The baptism that Peter talked about when he said that it saved Noah, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. The gospel message baptism, is it from man or is it from God? 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. People will say that baptism that's talked about is being baptized by the Word. Being baptized by the Word. that's the baptism that he's talking about. 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, see, this message, this word, this gospel that we're going to hear, the Spirit is behind it, because we're going to see that we are obeying the truth through the Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, see, that's what we want. We were raised, we were buried with Him, and now we're raised in the newness of life. In that, remember, that stamp, that likeness, that image of Jesus, we were raised. And so just like Jesus was raised, we share that same seal on us, that that just as Jesus was raised, so will we. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God. And this is the verse that they'll go to, right? That we're born again through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And I say, see, baptism doesn't save us. The Spirit works through the Word, and you're born again through the Word. But see, these are people that Peter also... Now remember, this is Peter talking. Peter said that that unstable, unlearned men twist Scripture to their own advantage. He said they do the same thing with Paul's writings. He said these people don't know what they're talking about, and they twist these words to your advantage, because it's easier to have a congregation of people who can simply pray for salvation. It's easier to have a congregation of people that are listening on the radio, and they become connected with you thinking that you saved their souls, and they want to slide you a little bit of money. It's easier to have a congregation that is not held by the Word of God. Because if it's not held by the Word of God, and it's not held to that degree, held to that authority, then Satan is at work, and he's going to give you the flashy things. So it's easier to have a congregation that just says, you know, that's what it says, having been born again, incorruptible through the Word of God. But if these people, if they would just read a couple more verses, you would see what word he's talking about. Verse 25, right? 1 Peter 1:25. We were reading 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Go to 25. He says, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. You see, that gospel message is certainly found in the Word of God, and that tells you how to be born again. You see, the gospel tells us of the new work of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling. So that Word of God, through the Word of God that we're born again, it's the word of the message of the gospel. And what does the gospel tell us to do? Well, there's only one gospel message. There's only one gospel message, baptism. Ephesians 4:5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so, are we baptized by the Word? Are we baptized for obedience? Are we baptized through the water? Well, he already tells us that obeying the truth through the Spirit, that's obedience. Being born again through the Word and the water and the gospel message, it was water, because the gospel message preached Jesus to the eunuch. He went out and he saw water and he stopped the proceedings. He says, what hinders me from being saved? There's only one gospel message, baptism. The kingdom of heaven has come because the Holy Spirit is at work. And denying that He is working through that baptism to say that it is only the work of men, then go back to John's baptism when Jesus asked. He said, was it from God or was it from men? And they wouldn't even say. But if you thought it was from men, if you thought this baptism was for men, then you deny Colossians that says that this baptism is not about getting wet, it's about coming in contact with the Spirit, coming in contact with the blood of Christ. There will be no name under heaven that can save you if you deny that the Holy Spirit is not at work in our baptism. I don't care what you believe. I don't care how much you preach Jesus. I don't care how many times that you go to church. I don't care how many ways that you've cleaned up your act. I don't care how many boxes you think you're checking, but when it comes to salvation, and that's what Jesus said. He said, by us blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit, because that was the purpose, right? He said, this man doesn't do works by the Spirit of God. He does them by Beelzebub. And Jesus corrected that and said, if you hold on to that idea, if you deny the works of the Spirit, you will not be forgiven in this life or the other. And what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? He says you will not be saved from this life to the next. There is a moment in time when we hear the gospel and we're not saved. There's a moment in time when we meditate and we think, we walk away and we walk and we think, should, you know, is this God stuff? Is there something about this? See, we're not saved. And then we make a decision and we come back and we say, I need to be immersed. I'm not a saved man. You see, if we don't believe that that baptism is what cleanses us of our sins, if the Holy Spirit is not at work there, then we can't be saved because we're denying the work of the Holy Spirit from God. We're denying a work of God. We might as well deny Jesus Himself. So salvation is not questioning these things. Salvation is accepting and obeying these things through water and through the Word. So the people that tell you that you're born again by the Word of God, they're not wrong. But the Word of God that teaches you how to be born again is that gospel message. He just tells you right there. Now, this is the Word. What Word? The Word that gives us life, that where we're born again is by the gospel. Comes through the gospel. What does the gospel tell you to do? Does it say that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ? And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And he says, I'm glad you see the truth. You see, Jesus, the name of Jesus, the concept of this man and the death that he died, all of this would only bring you so far. Because Jesus says, it is finished. He said, I can only bring you to the knowledge of the truth. But if you deny that truth, then you deny the work of the Spirit that is here. The Spirit, he said, he told those Pharisees in that statement, he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Beelzebub, he said, that is a divided kingdom. He said, but if I cast it out by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. And so, if that Holy Spirit is denied in that immersion, how are we going to find salvation? We're going to reject the works of God because His works in the flesh are finished. Now it's the works of the Spirit. And the only thing that I see that will keep us from salvation that will never be forgiven, it's not misunderstanding the Word of God. It's not misunderstanding Jesus. It's denying the Holy Spirit is at work through our immersion. You could deny He's at work through anything. When you're unsaved and you're struggling and you're walking and you're... you can even be a Christian and start to wonder what really happened in your baptism. Paul had to teach the church again what happened at being immersed, what happened when you were immersed. I would have thought once you learned it, you learned it. You see, once the Holy Spirit is present, He's not going to leave. But we can walk away from that. We can come to a point where we say, yeah, no, our baptism didn't save us. No. And Jesus said, if you deny the work of the Spirit, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will not have life in this, you will not be forgiven in this life or the one to come. I don't see any other place where we can deny the work of the Spirit except through that immersion. Because when you look out today, I would say, I don't know, what, 75%, 80% of what you hear on the radio and TV evangelists, they don't mention that the Spirit's at work in that baptism. Is that going to be forgiven? Is Jesus going to say, yeah, well, you know, you really had a big ministry and you did tell them about me and you did preach the Word of God, so we're going to let it slide. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. We can't let people... We can't come to a place where we say that baptism didn't save us. Now we know that there's more, right? We can walk away, we can be unfaithful, but that even that, if we silence the Holy Spirit and walk away, we can still come back because we are forgiven. That's what he says. All these things will be forgiven except blaspheming the Holy Spirit, except saying when I was saved, the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it. How we come in contact with the Spirit was through that water. And that's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He gave that exact same message. He told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. You see, our sins aren't just rolled back. Our sins are actually forgiven. And the reason that they're forgiven is because Jesus took the penalty for us, and when we're immersed, we die to those sins. We die thinking that you know, I have disobeyed God, and I'm worthy of death. And we die through that immersion, and we're raised again. Thank God that He doesn't ask us to go through exactly what Christ did. But if we deny the Holy Spirit is at work in that baptism, we'll never be forgiven. No matter what you cry out, no matter what name you use, no matter what you do, if we deny that work of baptism and the Holy Spirit at work, because that was the problem. They looked at Jesus, they looked at John, and they said the Holy Spirit's not at work in these two. When Peter told Jesus that, "I will not let you die," and he interfered with the will of God, that made Jesus mad. And he called him Satan. He said, "You are interrupting," and I can't think of anything else that is more directly reflected of our ability to be forgiven and to be saved than the Holy Spirit that's at work right now. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?